The first of the month giving. And so again, when I was asked just the other day to give either a little testimony or an encouraging word, and I sat down yesterday to prepare, and of course the first thing I did was, God help me, reveal to me your word and why we give, why you want us to give. I had some questions, which I'm sure you do too, like, why do we give? Is it still a command that's carried over from the Old Testament? What happens if we don't give? So just a little background, as you know, the Old Testament, there was a thing called the tithe, which literally is a tenth. It's a tenth of the harvest, the crops, grain, livestock. That was used to support the priests. So, and the Old Testament is very clear about tithing. There's many scriptures dealing with tithing. We see in Leviticus 27:30, it says a tithe or a tenth of everything from land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. And Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of your crops. And then in Malachi, the Lord begins by telling the people that they were robbing him of his tithe, and he says to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. He goes on to say, test me in this and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to contain it. Amen. So again, Old Testament. But now what about New Testament, right? What does Jesus say about giving? You may find it interesting to know that giving doesn't necessarily use the word tithe, though Jesus does use it a couple times, but it does talk about giving, and I can't think of the other word I wanted to use, but giving. And it's used over 2,000 times in the Bible. We see that it is something that God does want us to do. God led me to a scripture yesterday that I think kind of gives the heart or the background of why we give. And just let me first to say, God is so good that there was confirmation in our worship. And you'll see what I mean here in just a second. So I want to share a story with you from Mark 12. And it's set in the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus is near the temple treasury, which is in the court of women, and he's watching. He's watching the offerings being placed in the treasury. He sees many rich people, wealthy people, put in large amounts of money. Then he watches a poor widow who puts in two small copper coins worth about a few cents. And so let me share with you what he tells his disciples in verses 43 and 44. He says, or it says, calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. And so I thought about that. I'm like, okay, so this widow had two coins, and she could have at least kept one, right? I mean, I'm not really good in math, but I do know that if she kept one and she put in the other, that's 50%, and hey, that's more than 10%, so she would have been doing good. But she gives all that she has, and it reminded me of what we discussed in our women's Bible study last week. So we're doing this series on prayer, and in this one session, Jackie Hill Perry spoke about our petitions in prayer, our things that we want, things that we ask for. And she said that sometimes we don't get what we ask for because we pray with the wrong motives. It says in James 3 that you ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you can spend on your pleasures. Her point, and the point, is when we ask, we never have any intention on giving back to the giver. Our motives are wrong, which means our heart is wrong. Our heart is wrong. And here, Jesus saw the heart. He saw the heart of the wealthy men. He also saw the heart of the widow. Out of her poverty, she gives everything to the Lord. And could it be that she knows that everything she has is His, everything? And so in the Old Testament, we see it's giving is about a percentage. But in the New Testament, giving is more. It's more. It's about positioning of our heart to be generous, because everything is the Lord's. We're told that in Deuteronomy 10:14. Our talents, our job, our house, our car, our kids, all our stuff, everything is the Lord's. Every single thing. And that also means our money. And so it's why in Matthew 6:21, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is there your heart will be also." The widow had two coins, only two, yet she gave them both. Where was her treasure? The lesson here is that what we do with our money shows where our heart is. When we give, it puts our love for God before our worldly treasures. So it's a matter about trusting God with all that we have. Amen.
Amen. Would you just bow your hands, and we're going to just spend this time just giving as unto the Lord. The baskets are open if you would like to give, or if you'd like to give online through tithes and offerings. It's about our hearts. You can give 10%. But it's just about your hearts before the Lord, saying, "God, because I said you could have my heart, you also get those things that are precious to me." So maybe the Lord's put something on your heart. If you'd like to give this morning, I want to pray a prayer, and then the pastor is going to come up and speak about the end times, which is going to be an incredible sermon. Can we just pray over this offering? God, we just thank you so much, God, for the word of God. We thank you for what Jesus said, God, that our hearts are the issue. God, so in every area of our life, we want to say yes to you. We want to say yes to your promises. We want to say yes to your commandments over us, Lord. And God, we might have to trust you in faith and believe, Lord God, that you have more than enough. But today, God, we just give this offering as unto the Lord. God, we give this tithe unto the Lord, Jesus. And God, we thank you for your promises in Scripture, Lord Jesus, God, that says, God, that you provide for us. And God, everything we have is yours already. So we give out of the first fruits. God, we give out of our hearts in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. If you'd like to give, you can do that now in Jesus' name. I know some of you already gave. And would you welcome to the stage Pastor Ted and his message about the end times.
And testing, 1, 2, testing. There we go. We have Mike. Amen. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Amen. Man, it's such a godly principle about giving. And I've seen God just bless my life because of my obedience, me and my wife's obedience to give to the Lord. And we don't give to get, but in the process of giving, you do get. Amen. And so do it to honor the Lord, not for us, not for anybody else, but do it between you and the Lord as obedience to Him. Amen. So the title of this one is Endure to the End. Endure to the End. Do we have any runners in this place today, or anyone who competes on an athletic level? Mr. McKinley is raising his hands. He's like, yes, I'm an athlete. And so anyway, if no one else, the Lord has, stirred me up this year. And I started this thing, I'm marathon training. I'm training for a marathon, all right? And so it has been extremely difficult, and I've kind of worked my way up to 10 miles yesterday. And as I was running, I get to about the 8 mile, and I'm like, I just want to quit, you know. I just want to, like, this is hard, you know. I just want to give up. I just want to throw in the towel and just say, all right, 8 miles is enough. But if I'm trying to reach that 26.2 miles, which is a marathon, then I have to press in even harder. And so sometimes what I had to do is maybe back down my pace a little bit and just kind of slow it down. But eventually I was able to pick that pace back up, and I wound up finishing the race. I wound up making it all the way to the 10-mile mark. But the idea of me telling you this story today is that sometimes you may feel like throwing in the towel. You may feel like giving up at times. You may feel like, man, this is too hard. It's too hard to live for the Lord. It's too hard in this world, in this secular culture that we live in. It's too difficult. Let me just encourage you today, endure to the end. Amen. You're going to see the benefits pay off. As I'm believing this, the race will be beneficial to my life in some way or another. But so today, if you leave it nothing else, leave with this in mind, endure to the end. And so we're going to be looking at the book of Matthew chapter 24. And in this, we see Jesus respond to his disciples. His disciples ask a question: when are you coming back? Right? When will these things happen? When are the signs of the times? As I give you this message, I do not do this to instill fear into you. By any stretch of the imagination. In fact, in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 25, it warns us about being fearful and anxious. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" And so as we get into this, I want you to have this scripture in the back of your mind, that regardless of what we face, what we may face, what we will face, that the Lord will take care of you. How many guys are children of the Most High God, right? You claim him as your heavenly Father. He claims you as his child, as his, you know, his son, his daughter. Then you will be protected. You will be provided for whatever it is that we face in this life, whatever it is that we may have to endure. Now, whenever you think of enduring, you don't think of things being easy. You think of that race, that marathon race. It's hard. It's difficult. But and you may face trials. You may face trying times in your life. You may get to the point where you want to throw in a towel, but the message, the encouragement is endure to the end. So in one more verse before we get into our main text today, 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 9 says, "So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage and would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him." Amen. So regardless, as a Christian, as a believer, you cannot lose, as long as you endure to the end. Amen. And so whether we are in this body, this physical body, hey, we're going to live to honor the Lord. We're going to live to bring him glory. And whether we are away from this body and we are with the Lord, how much more greater is that? Amen. And so as a believer, as a Christian, you cannot lose. All you have to do is endure to the end. Isn't that encouraging this morning? Amen. That you're on the winning side. That Satan's already defeated. And Jesus says, "It is finished," whenever he said it on the cross. And so Jesus has already won the victory. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3 to 14. And it says, "And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age?'" Now, isn't that just like us, right? We want to know exactly when things are going to take place, right? God, when will you heal my body? God, when will you change my finances? God, when will you do this? When will you do that? We want a date. Give us this date. Now, if I had a date, then I know how long I must endure, right? Or maybe you're in the line at Popeyes and you're like, "Give me a specific time. When will my spicy chicken sandwich be done?" Amen. Amen. Or Canes, I'm sorry, for that matter, too. I mean, we have some Canes people representing in the place. But when will that be done, right? That's our human nature. We're like, I want to know when. You know, I want it my way, right away, right? And so Jesus, very patient with his disciples, doesn't brush them off, doesn't brush off the question, because he was in such a relationship with his disciples that his disciples could come to him and ask him anything. And he would lovingly respond to their question. That's the God that we serve. He's into relationship with us. The God of heaven who created all things says, you know what, I want a relationship with you. And if you have a question, you can bring it before the Lord. And that's the loving Savior that we serve. And so as he sat down, he says, they ask him, when will these things be, and what will be the coming? What will be the sign of the coming and the end of the age? Now, whenever signs are pretty important in the Bible, and prophecies have always been a thing in the Bible, in the Old Testament, they prophesy of the coming Messiah. And there were certain signs to look for. Jesus tells them in the book of Isaiah 7:14, he says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So this was a sign, a pretty significant sign, to all of mankind that the Messiah is on the earth, because there will be a birth by a virgin. Now, everyone knows that's pretty impossible unless the Holy Spirit works on their behalf, right? And so that was the sign given. But get this, if they were to miss the sign, if they were to miss the signs of the time, then they would miss out on the coming of the Messiah. Fast forward to 2023. If we look at the signs that are going on, or if we fail to look at the signs that are going on in the world, perhaps we too will miss one of the greatest deliverances that God has intended for his people whenever he returns, his second coming. Amen. So it was important for the Israelites to pay attention to the times, to say, okay, well, this is about the time Jesus said that he will come, or the Messiah said he will come. Oh, this is the sign that the virgin birth. And you know what was sad about this is that many Jews, having the text, having the prophets come before them, still missed out on the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. They still missed out. I don't know about you, but me, I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out. Like, if we are, I'm not saying we are, but if we are the generation that will see the Lord's coming, I don't want to miss out. Amen? And so, just a few of us don't want to miss out, but the rest of us want to miss out. We're going to pray for this church, and we're going to pray hard for this church. I'm just picking. All right. Verse 4, it says, and Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. So one of the first things, one of the first signs that Jesus says to his disciples is that there will be many false Christs, many false witnesses, many proclaiming to be Christ, many proclaiming to be the way. Jesus says about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father except through me. But yet, we have all these different religions and all these different things in the earth today that says, no, you don't really need Jesus to get to God. You don't really need Jesus to get to heaven or to paradise. You can do this. You can worship false gods. You can do mysticism. It's all about connecting with yourself. It's all about connecting with the universe. It's all about connecting with the dead. And so we have all these ways that say, no, you don't need to go through Jesus. You can go through all these different things to obtain peace. That is the doctrine of demons. Because there is only one way, and that is through Jesus. Amen? Everybody say, in John 14:6, Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And one more verse in that, 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He comes to deceive. He comes to deceive even God's people. And that's why we need to be vigilant to the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God so that we know the truth. So whenever the false teachings and the false doctrines arise, we're like, no, that is not in the Bible. That does not bear witness with my spirit. That is not of God. I cast that out. I don't receive any of that. I'm sticking to the truth. Jesus is the truth. Amen? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And anything apart from the Bible, if it's not taught in the Bible, if it's not, if you cannot find it in Scripture, if it does not bear witness in the spirit that is in you, it is not of God. Amen. And it is a doctrine of demons. And Jesus says, look, in the end times, it's going to be this increase of false doctrine going on. And if we were to make a checklist this morning and just things that Jesus said that will happen in the end times, and then we look at our day and age, we can't help but think, you know what, we've got to be getting close. We've got to be getting close. And the whole idea of the sermon is just to point out the fact that, look, we are very close. I'm not sure when. I'm not saying it's going to happen today. I'm not sure saying it's going to happen tomorrow or 10 years from now or 20 years from now. I'm just saying we need to be ready, church. We need to be ready for His coming. We need to act like He really is coming. And if we believe this, then we must also know that there are loved ones in our lives, family members who are not saved, family members who, if Christ were to come today, that they would miss out and that they would spend eternity in flames. God, we got to be burdened for the loss, amen? Verse 6, Jesus goes on to give us some more things that will happen in the end time. He says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now, I looked it up just to see how many wars are going on or warlike conflicts are going on in the earth today. There are 32, at least over 32 warlike conflicts in the world today. There are terrorist groups in Sudan, Tanzania, Uganda, Yemen. There are civil wars in Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Libya, Somalia. There are drug wars in Colombia and Mexico. There's major wars, Russia and Ukraine. You think of what's going on in Israel right now. The Palestinians are warring against the Palestinians. The Arabs are warring against the Arabs. They're all trying to control Israel. And at the same time, Iran is on the outside trying to seize control of Israel. So all these things that are taking place in the world today, Jesus says, don't worry about it. Whenever you see these things, don't worry, it's going to get worse. These are just the birth pains, all right? Isn't that comforting? Isn't that encouraging? Says the Lord says, whenever you see these, don't be alarmed. It's going to get worse. Whew. So you look around like, God, really, it's going to get worse? Oh, but you know, anytime that the Lord gives us this, he gives us this word to prepare us. And so he wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be on the lookout whenever we start to see these things, that things are aligning for his second coming. He foretells about it, and so we must believe that it is true. So Jesus goes on to say, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And so, again, I looked it up because I was curious. As of August 29, 23, 28.7% of the U.S. Was facing a severe drought. And I think I have a picture maybe, or maybe not. Anyway, it kind of like depicted like all the different areas of the world that are in drought. And you look at this map, and it's just like red pretty much all over the entire globe where people are experiencing famine, you know, to unprecedented levels throughout the world. We see natural disasters. Just this year, now this might be quite alarming, just this year. So we had wildfires in Algeria. We had also in wildfires in Chile. We had flooding in Korea, India, Chile, Ecuador. We had flooding in Brazil, Somalia, South Africa. More flooding in Brazil. We had cyclones in India, Bangladesh, Peru, Madagascar. Earthquakes in Syria and Turkey. I mean, the two major earthquakes, this is all this year, two major earthquakes in Turkey and Syria killed nearly 50,000 people and leveled hundreds of buildings. They said the aftershocks of these earthquakes registered 6.6 on the Richter scale. The aftershocks of these earthquakes. And they said there was nearly about 100 of these aftershocks from these earthquakes. Now, the actual earthquake itself was like 7.7 and a 7.8 right after, you know, like within hours of each other. And then my wife was just telling me recently that there was another earthquake in Morocco, Spain. And so Jesus says, look, there's going to be earthquakes, there's going to be famines, going to be natural disasters taking place on the earth today. And so again, if we were looking at our times and looking at the Bible, if we were putting up a check by each one, you can pretty much say, check, you know, check to that. Verse 8, he says, all these things are but the beginning of birth pains. So again, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Verse 9 says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. You'll be hated by all nations for not my name's sake. And you might be like, Pastor, surely you could have skipped that verse, right? That's not a comfortable verse to think about. That my faith may lead to martyrdom. It may lead to me making a decision. Am I going to deny Christ? Am I going to deny my faith and live, or am I going to be willing to die and not deny my faith, but hold on to my faith? That am I going to be brought to that? I mean, right now in America, we enjoy the freedom to come here to worship. We have the freedom of assembly. We have the freedom of speech where we can talk about the Lord. We can talk about the Bible openly. But it's not the case in so many countries. And I'm not saying it will be the case 10 to 20 years from now here in the United States. Again, I'm not trying to instill fear into you, but I'm just trying to let you know what the Bible says, what will happen at the end times, and what things are going on, you know, things that are going on in this world today and how they are aligning for the second coming of Christ. And so if Jesus foretells of the fact that there will be tribulations and that they will deliver you unto death, does that scare you? Does that worry you? What hope do you hold on to in the midst of all that? Well, go back to that scripture we read earlier. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If they kill me because of my faith, I'll be right there with Jesus, seeing him face to face, eye to eye. What hope do we have in that? That's awesome. That the creator of the universe, we're going to spend our entire lifetime with him. We won't have any more pain, no more sorrow. There will be no more heartache. There will be no more things in this earth that we experience that brings about sadness or weeping or crying. There will be no more crying anymore. There will be no more pain anymore. The Bible says encourage one another with these things. And so if I have to make a decision to die for my faith, or to live like a coward, I'm going to die for my faith. Because he was publicly beaten and mocked and spit upon. He was hung upon a cross for me, for you. To deny him before man, Jesus says, I will deny you before my heavenly Father. I'm not saying it will get like that. I'm not saying it will get to the point, but if you look at the trajectory of the United States and how far we have fallen from being a country that is under God, surrendered to his will, and we allow so much junk. There are babies being aborted. There's homosexuality. There's sexual immorality in the United States that is unreal. And every nation that has dealt with sin and has sinned against God, there came judgment. And judgment comes upon sinners. It always happens. It's always the case. You can't escape it. America needs to repent. You know, we always say America, I mean, God bless America. No, America needs to bless God. America needs to rise up and bless God. So these are there will be tribulations. They will put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. You might be experiencing this right now, you know, like on your job. They hate you because you're a Christian. They hate you for what you stand up for what you believe. They hate the fact that you're always joyful, that you always have peace in your life. They hate the fact they're jealous of you. Anybody ever experienced this in your life? You're hated for the sake of the gospel. You're hated for what you believe in. Well, guess what? Take heart. Be encouraged. They hated Jesus too. They hated him for what he stood for. And so if you are being ridiculed, if you are being persecuted for your faith, you are in right alignment with where Jesus wants you to be. And you are suffering as he suffered. But guess what? He'll be delivered as he was delivered. He rose from the dead. The grave did not keep him there. Amen. He rose. The promise is that we too will rise to newness of life. We will have this glorified body. Amen. And so in the midst of what seems to be chaos, there's hope. There's always hope that we have in Jesus. Verse 10 says, many people will fall away. So again, these are more signs that we see that Jesus is saying, hey, look, as the end draws near, it says, and then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Just by a show of hands, do you know at least one person who has fallen away from the Lord? They used to live for the Lord. They used to serve him with all of their heart. But now they are no longer serving them. Serving. All right. And so just with another show of hands, do you know five people who have walked away from the Lord, no longer living for him? So we all know at least someone. We all see this beginning to take place, that people are falling away from the Lord. They're falling away from their fervency that they once had for the Lord. They're fervent, they're going away from their faithfulness. They can, you know, they're no longer faithful to the things of God, to the house of God. You see this tremendous backsliding that's taking place in the earth today. Many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. The rise of hate, my goodness, that we see in the earth today. You know, now it's worse, you know, because the kids nowadays, they have it so hard because everything gets broadcasted on social media, right? And so if you want to make fun of someone, you don't just make fun of them right there, right, you know, but you go online, you go on these social media sites, and the amount of hatred that is there, the amount of hatred that is in the earth today is just continued. Rise and rise and rise. I mean, it wasn't long ago where you wouldn't like mouth off to a cashier. You wouldn't mouth off to a security officer or someone who is in authority. But there is this lack of respect for authority in the earth. There's this lack of, hey, I'm going to do whatever I want, and you're not going to tell me anything about it. You see this rise in this spiritual decline, if you will. But not just this is not just in America, but this is worldwide. You know, this is a problem everywhere. Jesus warns us. He says, this is what it's going to be like. It's going to get rough. It's going to get tough. But we can't say we wasn't warned. We can't say, well, I never knew this was going to happen. No. He gave us this so that you can prepare. He gave us this so that you can trust in him during this time. Look at verse 12. He says, and lawlessness will be increased. The love of many will grow cold. Now, what is lawlessness? Contempt and violation of law, iniquity, you know, wickedness. I mean, there. You think of all the major cities in the United States right now, and many of the big businesses are leaving those areas because there's lawlessness. You know, they're just allowed to do whatever they want to do, whatever kind of crime they're wanting to commit, they're able to do that, right? And so there's no consequences. There's lawlessness in many areas. And so these big companies are having to leave these cities and move elsewhere because nothing is being done. They can't even run a business because, you know, they're being broken into or whatever it may be. There's a rise of lawlessness that we see in the earth today. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. And so besides all these physical things that we see going on, there are some spiritual things that we're also warned about. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5, it says, "But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self." Check. "People will be lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful." You can probably check. Right on that one. "Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." Avoid such people. I mean, it doesn't take a person with a master's in eschatology to see, man, many of these things that Jesus talked about are being fulfilled in our earth today. We see so many of these characteristics evident in our society. Furthermore, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days, scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." So there will be scoffers. Anybody ever been mocked because of your faith? Anybody ever, you had people scoffing at you? "Well, how dare you go to church? You know, God's not there." I mean, this is what they're telling our kids in school. They're saying that God's not real, that you're this product of this thing that just happened, this big bang that just happened, and then all of a sudden you just kind of came together. They scoff at the idea of God. They scoff at the fact that God was creator. They scoff at his rules and his regulations. They're scoffers throughout the earth. And I'm sure you see this in your daily life as well. But so all of this can seem kind of overwhelming. You know, whenever we're looking at what Jesus said will take place, and we look at our world today, like, man, there's a lot of this being fulfilled. But Jesus says also, he doesn't like just give you the scenario. He gives you some hope with this. Amen. And so I love Jesus. Amen. Verse 13, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." The one who endures to the end will be saved. I thought I'm already saved. Well, you are. And you're being saved. And you will be saved. Amen. Salvation is a process. How many of you guys know that you're not there yet? I mean, you're not perfect, right? And so, yes, you are saved. Whenever you came to the Lord and you repented of your sins, you put your faith in him, you're saved. But look, now you're in this process of sanctification where he's working in you. But then one day, we will get to this place of glorification, all right? Where we have this glorified body. We will be like God in every way with the absence of evil, the absence of our flesh. How many of you guys wrestle with your flesh from time to time, right? Maybe this morning, like, I don't really want to go to church. That's your flesh. But you got here, right? You conquered that thing. You said, "I'm going to be here." And so whenever we are with the Lord, there will be no more flesh. There will be no more sin. There will be no more of these things. It's going to be awesome. Amen? So we have this to look forward to. "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Now, maybe our end looks different than the next person's end. Perhaps the Lord, you know, let's just say, maybe we are the generation that will see the Lord's coming, endure to the end. Maybe you die of natural causes, endure to the end. Maybe you're facing martyrdom, you know, you're being killed for your faith. Whatever that looks like, you endure to the end. So whatever that looks like, whatever death that we will experience in this life, we're going to endure to the end. We're going to put our hope and our faith in God. He's going to bring us through. He's going to be there. He will comfort us. He will give us everything that we need when we need it. The one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So we live in such a day and age where technology, I mean, you can get on Facebook, right, and you can post something about the Lord, and not just one person will see it, but many people will see it. So we live in a day and age where it is very possible that the gospel spreads throughout all the world within a short amount of time. Amen. And so if you are on social media and different things, what a great tool to use for the kingdom of God and to help promote his, this gospel. And so we see all these different things just kind of falling into place. He prepares us. He says, look, endure to the end. You're going to make it. What does that word endure mean? To persevere absolutely and emphatically under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ Jesus. So in conclusion, Jesus, in a relationship with his disciples, as they ask of him, Lord, when are the signs? What are the signs? When are you coming back? Jesus responds to them, look, here are some things to look for. And he begins to talk about wars, rumors of wars, famines and earthquakes, great falling away. Talks about, the heart of people, the love of people would just grow cold. And if we're looking at it, we can be like, check, check, check. Oh, check to that. Check, check. No man knows the day nor the hour is what we will see in a couple of verses later on. So I'm not going to pretend to tell you, I'm not going to try to sell you some book and make you believe that the Lord's coming back on this day because of this, this, and this. Because the Bible says no man knows the hour. No man knows the day. But we do know that his word is true. We do know that he is a promise-keeping God. And whenever he said that he's coming back for his church, that we can believe that he is coming back for his church, and we need to be found ready. We need to endure to the end. Yes, it may be hard. Yes, you may go through persecution. Yes, you may be ridiculed for your faith, but endure to the end. Amen. Christianity is not just some simple prayer that we pray and we're saved. Christianity is dying to my flesh each and every day, picking up my cross and following after Jesus. And what that looks like for us, Jesus laid down his life for us. And if it comes down to it, then so be it. I'm going to be with Jesus. You're going to be with Jesus. Endure to the end. You're going through trials right now. You're going through circumstances that seem to be so big and so insurmountable. Endure to the end. Endure through that trial. Trust in Jesus to get you through. He will always get you through. He will always give you that which you need. He will prepare you. He will enable you. He will fill you with the Holy Spirit so that you can endure that trial. Endure to the end. Whatever that means. Whatever your end looks like. Whatever my end looks like. We're going to endure to the end. Amen. You bow your heads and close your eyes, please. Lord, today, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you warned us, Lord, through the scripture, Lord, that these things will happen. And it's just going to get even worse. But Lord, we know that we can trust in you. We know that you got our back. Lord, that we can put our faith and our hope in you. Lord, for you have always cared for the righteous. You have, Lord, the righteous have never been forsaken. You have always provided for us. You have always been there for us. Lord, as you care for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, how much more valuable are we than they? So, Lord, we put our hope and our trust in you. Whatever it is that we may face in this life, God, we say we will endure to the end. And, Lord, for those of us who feel like maybe we failed in this area, we were on the verge of giving up or throwing in the towel, Lord, today that you would encourage them, Lord, by your Spirit. Lord, that you would just uplift them, that you will fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit even now. Lord, so for every person right now, in the name of Jesus, who felt like throwing in the towel, who felt like giving up, God, I just speak life right now in the name of Jesus, and I cancel the assignment of the enemy over their lives, and I just declare that they will be a man or woman of God who endures to the end. Come hard times, come difficult times, come easy times, Lord, that they will endure to the end. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are raising up a church. God, we're running this marathon. Lord, it's a long race. We might not see the results immediately, but Lord, we're putting our hope in you. We're putting our trust in you. We know that you got us. And there is no turning back. The cross before us, the world behind us, there is no going back. Back, because God, you are life. You are everything that we need. Everything that we desire, you fulfill that. Lord, there is no turning back. We will trust in you. We will believe in you with all of our hearts to the day we die. God, we thank you for this message. Let it be instilled in our hearts, not to walk in fear, but to trust you, to thank you, to be prepared because of you. In the mighty name of Jesus, and let the church say amen. Hallelujah. Join with us next week as we continue this. We'll be talking about the son of perdition, the Antichrist. Look, we want to see you also in Wednesday night Bible study. We have a great women's Bible study. We have a great men's Bible study. We have a great teen service that goes on here. So we encourage you to plug in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen, amen. If you're a visitor this morning, grab a visitor card right behind your chair. Go bring it to the front desk. We have a gift for you. Love you guys, and see you Wednesday.